Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal, Over Our Heads. Each week, we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the Paranormal. And like I always say, there is so much to talk about, so much going on, so many interesting things happening in the world today. And I hope you enjoyed last week's show. Our guest was John Lucas, a very, very interesting man who does alternative healing. And he talked about his method of healing people by spiritually deleting the root causes of illness. And a very interesting guy. He's had a lot of very powerful spiritual experiences. And if you didn't get a chance to check out the show, remember, all the shows are archived on the BBS website. So if you get a chance, check it out. I think you will find it very interesting. Tonight, I'm so excited about our guest tonight, I can't tell you. I've done a lot of research into this particular topic, read a bunch of books, and gone to see people who specialize in this phenomenon, which is called channeling. Channeling is very similar to mediumship, except instead of channeling your Aunt Martha or Uncle Ben, your channelers generally channel enlightened beings, advanced spiritual masters. And our guest tonight, Sheila Applegate, this is exactly what she does and has been doing for quite some time. Sheila is a Master's of Social Worker. She's got a degree in social working, and she's an internationally known spiritual seer, healer, and teacher. She's a very gifted spiritual teacher, in fact, and is highly sought after. She's a very high-level intuitive and clairvoyant who can clearly describe spirit guides, people, situations, all with astonishing detail and accuracy. She can actually clearly see these guides, angels, and the ascended masters, and is able to facilitate communication between these guides and her clients in order to provide all kinds of information about their spiritual progress, relationships, finances, and other practical everyday issues from a higher spiritual perspective. So she's been on numerous radio shows, and again, does this work across the world in England, United States, and beyond. So we're very, very honored to have her here tonight, and I want you all to give a nice, big, warm welcome to our guest tonight, Sheila Applegate. Sheila, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you. I can't tell you. I've seen, like I mentioned in the introduction, several channelers, actually. And you know, I'm so convinced, because they were all able to provide information for me that was not only helpful, but it corresponded with each one. Each of the channelers was telling me basically the same type of thing. So I was very, very impressed, and always have enjoyed hearing these really wonderfully positive messages. There's nothing like it. So I'm just so excited to have you on the show tonight. Now, why don't you, I guess, let's start by asking you how you got involved in this very unusual and unique field of work.
Well, as you just told everyone, I did start out in the field of social work, so I actually started my journey as a clinical therapist. And I remember there was a class that I took back in college where they showed us a video of somebody doing therapy with people who had crossed over, family therapy with both those that were here and those who had crossed over. And at that point, I really had not started. I do believe I was always on a spiritual journey and always very connected, but I wasn't raised to do anything like this or to even know about this type of work. So I remember in that class just thinking to myself, I want to do that someday. But it didn't really sink into the point of making it a driven task to do. I just continued on with my journey, and I ended up attending a metaphysical Christian church where I learned guided meditation, which is the same technique that I now teach other people. And through this guided meditation, I learned to work with my own guides and to be able to see and hear them and to get information for myself. And once you learn the technique, it's like knowing how to plug in the television and turn it on to the correct channel. So I moved from there to
This is really interesting to me. Now, you started doing these meditations and were able to contact your spirit guides. What was that like? I mean, how did that take place? Did you actually see them, and how do you know they're your spirit guides? Could you speak with them? Was this all?
Yes, and that's exactly. I'm really passionate about teaching everyone to be able to communicate with their own guides. And I say to people, you know, we don't all want to be physicists, and we're not all programmed to be physicists, but we all can still do some communication, you know, just like we may not all be channeling for a living, but there is no reason why we can't all be accessing our own guidance for our own personal journey. I do believe that's the natural state. So when I attended these classes, basically it's a guided meditation, which you can hear from my website. I do, this is what I do for people now, is I guide you into your sacred garden, and then I guide, then I lead you in where you can communicate and bring forth your own personal guides to start accessing information for yourself, and teaching you how to do that and to develop a language with it. I did see, and like I said, some people are more likely to see and hear, and some people may be more kinesthetic, just simply feel or have an intuitive understanding as they move forward. So I encourage everyone to receive the information in their own way. For me, I do see and hear, and that moved forward to working with the Ascended Masters.
So what?
I learned the technique, I could do it with others too.
What was those? What were those first meetings like? I mean, was this all like taking place in your mind's eye, and you could see it vividly that way?
Yes, it really is the mind's eye. And I tell people, when you're starting, don't worry about whether it's your imagination or the truth. It will prove itself when you let go and just let it happen. It starts to prove itself. And one of my early memories of doing this, because when I did the classes, we went in and she had us meet very specific guides, and it was a Christian base. So one of it was our guardian angel. And one day when she was taking us in to meet with our guardian angel, guiding us through the meditation, I went ahead of her and my teacher. And I came upon my guardian angel, and she was just this beautiful, beautiful light. And she was zipping up this angel suit. And she looked at me and she said, "Look at what you make me put on." And that was that was such a moment for me, because first of all, I was being told, you know, we're just pure light and pure energy, but we will show up how you need us in order to guide you. And then it was something I never would have thought of on my own, so it was an affirmation to me of the truth that she was there with me. What? So I'm always encouraging people to play, just like children learn how to communicate and learn about the world through play. That's how the guides can work with us. So they can teach us how to find a parking spot. We can ask them for a parking spot and then follow our intuition to find it. And it seems silly, and when we look at, like, if we're looking at the all-powerful God or all that is, we wonder, why would they care? But they do, because they can't give us the big miracles if we don't learn how to receive them. So any kind of little playfulness that we can do to build up a communication base is actually a very great foundation to working with our guides.
Wow. So we all have guides that are trying to contact us, is what you're saying?
We absolutely all have guides that are here to support us along our journey. And when I speak of spirit guides, I am speaking of the realm of angelic beings or ascended masters, though all religions have a name for them, and they do come in the form that's most appropriate for us at the time, so they could look like angels or animals or people. In this category, I'm not tending to talk about loved ones who've crossed over, but loved ones who cross over do guide us, but because they may still have an emotional attachment to the outcome of our life, just like people here, you know, if our mom here wants to protect us, there's a chance even when she's on the other side, she's going to want to protect us, even if it's for our highest good. So we always want to connect with the spirit guides who are a little bit more objective, and then we can let our loved ones also in to support us on the journey.
So are these spirit guides, were they human, or are they human beings?
Well, in my understanding, the angelic realm, and again, every religion has its name, but they are a different evolution than us. So they are not human. So they are here to guide us. They're in a different realm, and they don't live on Earth, which is good in giving objectivity to us, but they don't really understand time. They're getting a little better with it, and they don't really understand emotion. So we can be like having a really miserable time and turn to our angelic being, and they'll be happy for us because they know the outcome. You know, they don't understand the pain we're in at the moment. They just know where we're going and how wonderful it is. So that's one of the things with that realm. I also put in the category of spirit guides ascended masters. And an ascended master, in my understanding, would be someone who did live on Earth, went through the evolution, woke up and realized it was a dream, woke up and ascended, such as Jesus, Magdalene, the peacemaker, Buddha. So, and many more people are beginning to ascend. So there's some that, you know, we don't have the famous names for, but more and more people, as our Earth begins to ascend, more and more people are ascending. So that category would be beings who were on Earth and ascended, stepped out of the karmic cycle, woke up to the illusion, and they are wonderful to work with, and those are the ones that I channel most directly for the universal work, because they understand both the human process and what it's like to step above that.
So they're no longer, what's the word for it, incorporating or, you know, having physical bodies and living on Earth. They're done with that, the ascended masters.
Ascended masters are done with that. They're done with the need for it. They're done with coming here for the lessons. What I'm beginning to see as Mother Earth is getting ready to ascend, and everybody's interpreting that in many different ways, but as Mother Earth is getting ready to ascend, more and more ascended masters are walking the Earth, or there are some that are ascending and not crossing to the other side. They're staying here to help hold that vibration for Earth to help the masses move forward. So in a traditional way, my answer would be yes, they're no longer on Earth, but as we move forward, more and more are choosing to incarnate, not because they have to wake up from the lessons, but simply in service.
All right. So what is your definition of channeling? I mean, what exactly is it, and what are the mechanics of it? How does it take place, and what do you go through when you do this?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I have struggled with the labels and the way of defining ever since I started doing this work. And at one point, someone said to me, "Well, are you indigo?" And I thought, I said, "I don't like labels." And they said, "Well, that's exactly what indigos don't like." So I always struggle with what to call myself, which is why you saw that I just called myself a seer, to step out of the whole politics of what each thing means and just say, "I see and I hear." But for me, channeling, and the reason I was most comfortable with that, and I loved the definition that you gave tonight. I think I will keep that in my head as well. But for me, one of the reasons I resonated with the word channeling is because it reminded me of a television, like I just made reference to earlier, and the concept that There are television shows now, thousands of them, in the ethers, going through the airwaves all the time. And whether we have a TV, whether we turn the TV on, whether we plug it in, what channel we choose, those are still in the airwaves. And then we have this mechanism where we can choose to turn it on, and we can choose which channel to tune into. And so for me, on a very basic level, that is what channeling is to me. It's simply tuning in to a different vibration and seeing and hearing that. And I do, like I said, I always go to the spirit guides first. When I'm doing groups, when I'm teaching a class, or I'm doing a channeling for a group of people as a more universal message, it is always with the Ascended Masters. And so I started that part of it. I moved from working with my own spirit guides to realizing I could work with the spirit guides and the loved ones of others, to realizing and working more closely with some of the Ascended Masters that I resonated most with. And then I said I would never let them possess me. I thought that was strange, and I didn't like the sound of the voice when I heard other people do it, and I said, no way, no way. But then I had a visit from Magdalene, a personal visit from Magdalene, when I wasn't in a meditation. I was simply just in my living room, and she started to come to me, and she said she was going to walk with me. For that, it was the journey of the twin flame, and I was in a relationship with my twin flame, which is the Alpha and the Omega of us. And so she told me she was Jesus' twin flame, and she was going to walk me through the next few years. As I became closer and closer to her a few years later, she said to me, okay, now we want to teach with me in you. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. But by that point, we were close enough, and she had helped me enough that I did go ahead and do that. And so she was the first person, or the first Ascended Master that I let take over for me. And I know that when people do this, they have different experiences. For me, I think because I did this in a process, and I evolved as I was working with them, so that the gap between who I am as a person and who I am when I'm channeling is actually fairly small, because I have been cleansing myself, and I've been doing my own personal work, and I have been getting closer and closer to the Ascended Masters that I work with. So it wasn't a huge jump when I finally did do that. It was actually very gentle. My voice does tend to change slightly, not necessarily the voice of the person, the Ascended Master. It's not necessarily that they have a voice and I sound like them. It's simply that when they're in me, I am vibrating at a different level, and it affects my voice box. So you can hear a slight difference in the tone depending on which of the Ascended Masters is in me. But basically, I am still conscious. I'm still nearby. Sometimes I'm arguing with them in the background. but I'm here. I'm present. I'm listening. Sometimes I'm actually learning along with the people who are there, because these truths are not necessarily all things that I already know. So sometimes I'm just as fascinated to hear what they say. And it's sort of like I'm just expanded in my consciousness and just sort of listening from the sidelines, but still very present and aware when I do that. And I know that's different for everyone, but that's how it is for me.
Right, so you're not flying off in another dimension doing out-of-body travel or whatever? You're there?
No, I don't leave. I am way too much of a control freak for that. And I actually do have friends that will just, like, turn their body over, and I don't know where they go. And I actually am in awe of that, because I wouldn't do that.
Very interesting. So these Ascended Masters, what are they like? I mean, that's so fascinating to me. I just love all the channeled writings. And as I was saying earlier, the messages are so extremely powerful and positive, and just are really spiritually transformational, at least for me, and I know for lots of other people. I mean, look how well the Jane Roberts books sold of channeling Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are bestsellers. And so... So
because they're love. They're love. I mean, that's what it is. It's awakened love. And I always feel like it's not only the words that come through, which are beautiful, it's the vibration that comes through along with it, that somehow opens our heart to let us hear the words in a way that we may not be able to in a different situation. But their truths are simple, you know, and I believe that they're simple truths that master teachers have been trying to help us learn since the beginning of time. But and it comes down to love and remembering the oneness, waking up from the illusion that we're separate and that we're not whole and that we have to somehow become whole, or we're not worthy and we have to become worthy. And basically the message, though it comes in different ways, and I do channel beings from different traditions as far as religion or culture, but the truth is the same, and it's that we are one and that everything truly is love and the rest is an illusion that we simply have to wake up from. And as soon as we do, there is no fear, there is no evil. That's all, that it exists as long as we believe it. But as soon as we remember that everything is love, even evil, even fear, everything is God, and therefore everything is love, then we wake up from that illusion. And I think that each of their messages in their own way is helping us on the journey to get there. Because it's, you know, that's great for me to say that right now, but even if your mind conceives of it, how do you take that into your daily life? And I think that's what their goal is, to help us bring that into our daily life,
right,
to live by it.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Sheila Applegate, and we're talking about channeling ascended masters, and she's got quite a history in this, as you can see, and wow, very, very interesting experiences. And I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so if you would like to call in and ask a question of our guest, I will give out the toll-free number. If you have a story to share, or if you have a comment or a question, we would very much love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time in case you didn't have your pen ready, so grab it now. It's 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, and maybe later on in the show, if there's time, we can have Sheila actually do a little channeling as well. So we'll see, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But let's get back to the show. Now, Sheila, another question I have, which is why these particular two ascended masters, Isis and Magdalene, and who are they and how are they connected, and why, how are they connected to you, and what's this all about?
Well, like I said, I was actually raised in a traditional Protestant home. I didn't really have a deep understanding of who Magdalene was, because she has been written out of the story in most cases. I think one of my early childhood openings to her as being a spiritual being was Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, and that was probably the thing as a child that even told me she existed as more than just a whore, really. And so I didn't have a tremendous amount of background with her. Like I said, I was on a journey with my twin flame, and you know, that I know is a whole other show in itself, but basically it's the idea that we have another soul that is our alpha or our omega, the yin and the yang type of thing, and more twin flames are coming together to remember their oneness. It's just part of our journey back to remembering the whole. It's sort of the mirror that helps us remember that. And so I was on a journey with that in my own personal life, and Magdalene, like I said, just out of the blue, I hadn't even thought about the fact that she and Jesus were twin flames. So she appeared to me and started explaining that to me and teaching that. And as she was teaching it more, and obviously she was teaching it to other people around the world, because the world started to hear the same message and bring that forth. Then in came the connection to Isis. Basically, she introduced me to Isis. Again, I didn't know anything about ISIS or her connection, but the messages that I was getting, and as I got to know ISIS, and I believe ISIS is a being, I believe that in the highest form, ISIS is the Omega energy, the goddess energy, but then there's also her connection to, there's various stories actually with her, but that she, the connection that she has to Magdalene as far as what Magdalene and Mother Mary expressed to me is that they basically studied under her. So she was their spirit guide that helped them to support the whole process of what occurred during the time of Yesu. And it was the union of Magdalene and Jesus that really held that awakening and a lot of the miracles that occurred. And it's time for that message to be brought back into the world, because by removing that, basically, it's the heart part of the combination, you know. And so we went forward with a message from the head, but we kind of stripped out the goddess side, the female side of that, which is the heart, and it's the union between the two that actually create the awakening and the miracles that Jesus was talking about. So her mission or their mission together has been to not to overpower with the female energy, but to bring it back into its balance, into its harmony. So every person has both female and male energy into them. So it's not about if you're female or male on Earth. It's really about unifying the head and the heart together so we can move forward in a very balanced and harmonized way.
Well, God knows we need that, especially in these trying times. So
yes.
I can see why they're here.
The world is ready to hear it.
Yeah, well, I'm encouraged because I think a lot of people are becoming more open to this kind of stuff, and certainly, you know, there's a strong spiritual movement now, which is, I think, good news.
And the children today are not letting us forget, you know.
right.
They're not forgetting. Where we forgot and had to remember, they're not forgetting, and so they're going to move us forward if we don't get it, which is a wonderful thing.
Now, is it a twin flame the same as a soulmate?
Actually, again, this is where we get into, you know, definitions, and I know there's people out there and they're using the definitions in different ways, and my philosophy is language is what we need to connect with each other. It's also what divides us, so I'm always very cautious when I define anything. For me, a twin flame is a soulmate, but not every soulmate is a twin flame. So we have a lot of soulmates, and in the definition of soulmate to me varies from basically everyone is our soulmate, because anyone on the journey with us
here to
help us teach a lesson is our soulmate. And so at the very basic level, we're all soulmates. We're all on this journey of the soul here. So even somebody that you see once at the grocery store, if you have an encounter that guides you along your way, that could be a soulmate. Then, of course, there's souls that we are much more connected to, and we all feel that. There's sometimes when we see someone, and it feels like we remember them because we've journeyed with them before. And I would have that as a closer soulmate or soul family. And our reaction to a soulmate is not always of joy. Sometimes it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want that person near me, because there's an instant emotional reaction to it. So I say when you get to a closer soulmate, you may not have pure joy, but it's not going to be neutral. You know, you're going to react to that person, whether it's out of pure, like, wow, I'm so happy to see you, or, oh, my gosh, stay away from me, you know. But they're reflecting back for us a part of ourselves, because really when we go beyond all this, we're all one. So everyone is reflecting back something that we need to learn within ourselves. So the more work we do in remembering and being in tune with who we are and remembering the God in ourselves and letting go of the illusion, the more we're going to welcome in soulmates with that joy. Because when we see them and we see a reflection of ourselves, we're going to like it and we're going to feel good about it. And so the partnerships, the relationships that we learn in will be easier. there, in my understanding of the twin flame, is that we own, that's our other half. That originally we used to incarnate as whole beings, like the Alpha and the Omega, completely in one. And we expanded beyond that so that, and really that's just one step back to remembering we're all one. So it's the last part of God that we expanded from before our individual identity would be the twin flame. And so therefore there is only one, but there's soulmates right next to that that are also very, very close. And it really doesn't, a lot of people are seeking their soulmate, their twin flame, and they're thinking of it as a romantic thing. Does not have to be romantic. It's simply your lesson of oneness and learning and remembering your whole. But either way, it doesn't really matter if the person in front of you is a soulmate or a twin flame. The work is the same, and that's to see your reflection and learn from it and learn to love unconditionally again.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah, I was thinking probably more people's soulmates or twin flames are their best friend or their brother or something.
Absolutely. That is, I mean, it can be your brother. It can be your child. It can be...
anybody.
It can be anyone. And it may not, you know, your twin flame may not even be incarnated at the same time. You could, your twin flame can be other, on the other side. Or you could choose to incarnate in the opposite sides of the world and maybe never even come together in the physical, because it's really about a spiritual union, not a physical union.
Right. Now, is the entities that you channeled, the masters, Isis and Magdalene, are they contacting other people and also channeling through them, or is it just you? And if they are going through other people, have you checked out what they are saying, and does it corroborate what's coming through you?
I assume that they're going to other people, because that would be pretty vain of me to think I was the only one. I don't go searching to pay attention to others. Mm-hmm. When they come into my view, either through a book or... basically, it's when they direct someone to me, or they direct a book that's been channeled to me, then I pay attention. And so usually if it gets to me, it is in resonant, you know, it is resonating with the same message because they've brought it to me. And so...
very interesting.
Yes, I do feel that. And I feel it different. I just read The Expected One, I think it is. And she basically, I'm sorry, I don't even remember her name, but it was about Magdalene, and she does indicate that a lot of it was channeled, and it was more of Magdalene's journey when she was here and sort of the history of it. Magdalene hasn't wanted to touch that with me, barely at all. She just wants to get right down to the message. And she actually had told me a few weeks before the book came into my possession, with someone giving it to me, she had told me that she was using other people for that part of it, and that I was for this part of it. So, yes, definitely, I think that they're using people for what their particular gifts are. You know, I mean, I, from the beginning, was moving towards working with emotions and love. I mean, that's what I went, you know, I chose that in high school to go into counseling. So that's my personal specialty. That's what she wants to use me for versus history or anything like that. So
right.
I think each person that they use based on who they are as individuals as well.
Right. Now people contact you for individual sessions, is that right?
Yes.
Now, what can people expect when they come to a session? I mean, do they need to prepare? And what if some of the information that's coming through is, not something they'd want to hear? You know, like an upcoming tragedy or something. I mean, does that kind of stuff come through?
Well, I don't edit. It's not my place to edit. So what comes through, I do share. But, so it's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm only going to touch the good stuff. But... it's all good, because when I'm working with these beings, there is so much love that they can say even the most difficult things in the most loving way. And I've had people joke, and I wish I could even get the line that someone said to me today, like, you just can slap me in the most gentle way ever, you know? So they will give you a wake-up call. They will tell you hard stuff, but it's so filled with love and hope, because it's not about you're doomed. It's about, look it, this is the path in front of you. What do you want to choose? How do you want to co-create this? Because you're at a pinnacle point, and here's some possibilities of how this is going to play out. Now you choose. So it really is never frightening. It's so filled with love that I've never, you know, I've had people say they were frightened coming to for the first time, but I've never had anyone feel frightened in this session. And so basically, when someone comes for an individual session, it rarely moves right into me channeling in the first person, though I wouldn't stop that. If the guides want it and they want it, then I'm open to that. But usually I see and I hear their own personal spirit guides, and they know them very well, and they have messages for them. They'll answer any questions. I always tell people there's nothing you can't ask. They're only going to answer what's in your highest good to know. So if there's something that isn't going to help you to know, because it isn't always in our highest good to know what's going to happen next. It just isn't. Sure. I don't even like to know what's going to happen with me all the time. So if it isn't in our highest good to know, they'll explain to us why. So I always tell people, you don't have to worry about the question. Let them worry about the question. And if they do, if they choose not to answer it, they will tell you why they won't answer it.
Right.
And then so, from there, after I've gone to the guides, if the people want me to communicate with their loved ones, I'll do that. And if there's any unresolved business, we can go right into almost a therapy session and resolve issues with people who have crossed over, and also help them to learn how to have them in their lives still too.
Right. Here's another question which I'm wondering if you can answer. There's been a lot of talk about 2012, and I'm wondering, have the guides talked about this, or the ascended masters, and does this have anything to do with the Earth ascending?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting that you're asking that question tonight, because I went to see a movie with my daughter today, and the preview I saw for the first time of a new movie coming out in 2012, and it is just horrible. I mean, I wanted to shield everyone from the... I don't want to put anyone down, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever journey you want to take. But basically, it's about the world destruction, you know, and it's, you know, one of those, we've seen them before, those movies where the world's ending and...
Sure, meteor.
And all of that. And I think that 2012, you know, that people are predicting a lot around that time because they are sensing that there's going to be a shift and it's the end of the world as we know it. Well, thank God it's the end of the world as we know it, because it could get a lot better than this, right? So Mother Earth is going to ascend. Mother Earth is going to return back to the oneness with Creator, with all that is. That's part of the evolution. It's what's going to happen. How we go about doing it is going to be determined on how we as a collective direct our energy. We can get there through destruction, or we can get there through love. I honestly am seeing so much energy being put towards the love, towards the awakening, that I don't have, it's not even in my realm of consciousness that it's going to go the other way. We've passed the tipping point as far as I can see. And people are talking about the Stargate opening. Some people, and I don't, like I think I had mentioned to you, I don't put a much attention on the UFO phenomenon and all of that. Not because I don't believe it exists. Of course it does. Again, it would be vain of us to think we were the only race out there.
Right.
But for me, there's just enough to work with going on this realm, so I'm not going to go out in that way too much unless they direct me. But the Stargate that's opening... is, to me, what I have been shown is we're basically opening a passageway for the Ascended Masters, for us to be able to move between the realms. It's basically bringing heaven down to earth. And so it's being opened up. So it's not about us taking it's not about us traveling in ships or in cars or whatever through this passageway. It's more of the energy of us being able to move back and forth between the realms and bring them closer together, the spirit realm and the physical realm. And so the ascended masters can move through. It's already opened. It's already opened, and it's already happening. I think that by 2012, the masses are going to be able to see the difference. You know, there are people awakening and seeing this difference. And by 2012, I think that enough people will have awakened to this that we will see a shift, a major shift in the world, because it'll have tipped to the masses of seeing it. And the one thing they keep telling me that people can't forget is the key to this is the heart. And so that's why Magdalene is coming in right now and all these other beings trying to help us open that heart chakra and remember the love and embrace the emotions, because that's actually the key to this this shift.
Wow, this is so cool. You know, I'm getting chills because I've been having dreams about, you know, what you're talking about, bringing heaven down to earth. And when I went to see some channelers myself, that's the exact message that they brought. So this is really cool. I'm really excited about it.
And it's exciting, and it's so real. And some of us, you know, I always say my world is already beautiful because I live in this world now. And hopefully by 2012, so will everybody else.
Well, Sheila, we have like 15 minutes left in the show, and I don't know if that's enough time. And if you want to say no, please feel free to decline. But I was wondering if we could do a little short channeling session, or if you're open to that.
I would be happy to. Do you have a preference of who we call in?
No, whoever wants to, and whoever, you know, has something that they'd like to say to our listeners.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will just... I always start with an opening prayer. So I will just start with an opening prayer, and I will know as I pray which one of them is planning to come in, and then I will say that as I move out of the way. Dear God, Goddess, Creator of all that is, all the beings of light that are here with us tonight, ascended masters and angelic hosts, Alpha, Omega, Isis and Ra, Magdalene and Yezu, Peacemaker, Anahata, Jagunsase, we give thanks for your presence. I ask that you make me a pure and open vessel of your divine love and light, and I completely surrender myself now for the message that you wish to bring through. As I'm opening to spirit, everyone is here with us, many, many ascended masters, and they're showing much pleasure. Much pleasure and much joy and many blessings to all of the listeners. And they're showing me the world, and they're showing me an image very much like if you're in an airplane and you're looking down and you see the little lights, but the lights are these beautiful, pure white lights, and they're of the hearts around the world of people who are remembering and awakening. And they're just showing, actually, as I look down on it, it does already look like heaven on earth. If you think about looking up to the sky, and then now we have these beautiful starlights of people that are opening their hearts. And so the image that they show me is of basically heaven on earth. As I look around the world and I see these brilliant lights and lighting up more and more. And so they are saying that it has already begun. And as the hearts open, we will remember, and each one who opens their heart will feel this truth. And this is what the ascended masters see when they look upon us now. And let us remember that with joy. And it is Isis who is moving in towards me. So I step aside now, and I completely expand and surrender myself now to the being that has been known by a thousand names, to the being that has been known by Isis. my beautiful children of light. It is with great honor and with great joy that I look upon you now, that I see the rings upon rings of understanding. I see you coming together, and I see you awakening, and I see your hearts opening, and I ask each one of you, receive this truth. Receive this truth in your own way. I ask that you move forward. And if you have experienced fear, as we have been speaking today, I ask that you allow yourself to sit in that fear and let the love move forward over it. For there is not one among you who does not feel the truth of love within your heart. And there have been many beings of light sent forth with this message. And it has not ever been a message of division. It has always been a message of union. And the path to the oneness is within your hearts. Rise up now. And as I place my hand upon your heart and my hand upon your head, I open for each of you that which I call the twin chakra, that we will ignite once again that union between the head and the heart, that you will no longer lead with only your head or with your heart, that you will no longer bounce between the two, trying to think and trying to feel, moving forward in love and then being afraid and allowing the mind to move forward. And I say to you, we bring those together now, that you will move from the God center within you, that you will feel and you will think in the same vibration. And in this space, there is only love. In this space, you move in a place beyond law. You move in a place beyond discord, for there is no discord in this place. In this place, you will create for your own self all the abundance and joy. You will bring forth into your own life those beings of light who will guide and support you. For you will be creating your own heaven on earth. And in that space, you will unite with the oneness, the universal mind, the God center, and you will bring that also to this earth and to beyond this earth. For we know that this, that you learn in this beautiful playground of learning that is occurring here, that you know as earth, moves forward out into many other spaces. Let us remember this now. As we focus on the task at hand, we give thanks for all that you open your heart to. We give thanks that you have moved forward in your speaking and your understanding, and you will speak the truth in your own life now. Each one of you in your own ways will find your voice with love, and it will be heard. No longer will you struggle against your ego, for there is nothing outside of oneness. There is nothing outside of God. There is nothing outside of love. And so I say to you, embrace and call into your own heart your ego. Do not overcome it. Do not fight against it. Bring it inward. Love it and give it gratitude for keeping the human race alive, for that is what it is tasked has been. Remember that this part of you, this primitive part, was brought to the earth to hold you here, to keep the human race alive long enough until they could awaken. And so we have gratitude for that part inside of you, your primitive self, that is driven to keep you out of the light. Is that not true? Is it not true that as you were trying to stay alive as a human race, you were trying to stay out of that tunnel of light that led to heaven? Correct? So now we just need to tell that part of ourselves that it is a new way, that there is a new gateway that has opened, and that to open to the light is not to die. And therefore, we call that part of ourselves into our heart, that we will remember, that we will love all that is, and we will not struggle anymore between the heaven and earth. We will be alive, and we will be awakened at the same moment. And I honor each one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Isis. That was a wonderful message, and I'm honored and very thankful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I give thanks to the being that is known as Isis for using me as a vessel of her understanding. Amen. And I'm back.
Very cool. Wow. That is just amazing. I mean, just listening to that really lifts me up, and it's like water in the desert.
Yes. What a perfect description.
So what's your plans for the future? Do you have any upcoming engagements? Are you writing a book? You must write a book, Sheila.
My book is finally at the editor.
Awesome.
I have been writing a book for 7 years, and it's finally here. It is a book about love. It's my journey of love and understanding and partnership, and it also is an incorporation of channelings from Isis and Magdalene on the same topic. So I'm hoping that that will be out soon. And I am actually now getting more and more excited about the writing aspect of it. I do teach teleclasses, so it is available to people around the world on the first and third Sunday of every month at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And in every one of those classes, there's a guided meditation. Like I said, that's a process for everyone to learn to open up themselves. And there's a channeling on a various topic like you just heard tonight, but there's different topics each time about our own evolution. And I am teaching in Colorado in November with Megan Onan, who's the author of Creating Your Heaven on Earth. So we're doing a workshop based on that. And she actually wrote that book. It's much more, she's more pragmatic, more practical, and bringing it forth. So it's a great combination when we work together, because I bring in the spiritual component, and then she says, okay, and now let's apply this to your daily life. So you can bet my website will be updated with all of those things within the next week or two. And I just returned from Glastonbury, England, where I was channeling Magdalene, and I will be going back in May to do that as well again. So those are some of the bigger things coming up for me over the year.
Awesome. So if people want to contact you, they can contact you through your website, which is www.sheilaapplegate.com.
Yes,
is that correct?
Is. Yep. That's okay, it.
Let me spell that
out. And
on
the website, there's also, you can listen to the podcast. So there are a few meditations on there. And there's actually a channeling on there. It's a few years old, but it's Magdalene. That is one sort of historical, but it's the emotional component of it. She actually speaks about the time of Jesus' death, and it's a very moving, love-filled piece that I wanted to share with everyone. So, yes, you can hear a few different meditations and stuff on the website as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm so glad that you came onto the show. Wow, it's just so interesting. Thank you
for having me.
My pleasure, believe me. It was very, very cool. And I'd definitely love to have you back on again sometime if you're open to it.
Sure, I would love that.
Awesome. Maybe we could do a little bit longer channeling session, and hopefully we'll get some callers in. That
Perfect.
Would be exciting.
Yeah. That would be great.
Awesome. Well, we're pretty much out of time, Sheila. So thanks again, and I'm going to have to close up the show.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, you too. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest has been Sheila Applegate, who does channeling with Ascended Masters. If you'd like to learn more information about her, you can go to her website, which is www.sheilaapplegate.com. That's S-H-E-I-L-A, Sheila Applegate, all one word. And her email address is on there, and you can contact her if you're interested in a personal session. She also has a MySpace page, which is, again, under her name, Sheila Applegate, S-H-E-I-L-A. And check it out. I've visited the site. It's very interesting. Got lots of stuff there to look at. And, wow, what an interesting lady. Very, very cool. So I want to thank you all for listening again, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the Paranormal on the BBS Network. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.